Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 128 of Nerd Pride Radio. 128? Okay, I got a little feedback on the episode numbers. Yeah, this one's from Akiva, because I keep begging you guys to do all my research for me and give me really cool, clever stuff to say here so I sound witty. And Akiva says, look, I still think you should just make stuff up for your facts about your episode numbers. For example, you shouldn't make episode 128. If you add the digits together, you get 11. Add those digits together, you get 2. 2's a dangerous number. It means conflict between two people. Just look what happened to the first two brothers in the Bible. You just skip straight on to 129, and that's the reason. It has a much better numerological value of 3. Okay, that's a great idea, Kiva, and I think that's all well and good, and I will probably do that for some future numbers, because it's getting so hard to find interesting stuff about these. But my problem is, for 128, 128 is an awesome number. It's 2 to the 7th power. That's all I need. I love 128. Because, look, if I'm counting on my fingers from 1 to 1023, 128 would be me flipping you off, giving you the bird with my left hand. That's how it works, all right? And I know this because I've counted in binary from 1 to 1023 on my fingers a lot. And 128, boom, there it is, middle finger. See? I love that number. Not just for that reason, but it's just a good number. 128 feels good. Easily recognizable. I love it. But anyway, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. Tired. Really tired. That's why I might be a little short, and I might be a little bit frazzled. You guys can hear me kind of stumbling over my stuff. Whew, my brain's not coming together, but I'm still awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like 7 other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my brain anymore. Our sponsor this week, Production Logistics and Commissary. That's right, PLC. One-stop shopping for all your troubleshooting needs. Oh, because we're getting the game together. And I've got 12 players. I said it was going to take all comers. Anybody could join. And then I got up to 12, and I realized, no, wait, I got to stop at 12 because I have a plan. I actually have a plot laid out, and it's elegant, and it's simple and beautiful, and I'm so excited to play some Paranoia. So we're just gonna, right now, we've barely gotten started on characters. We've got 2 people who've submitted characters to me so far, and they're good ones, so I'm excited about that. And we're just going to kind of go from here. I'm really glad for this. Paranoia is going to be great. I'll report on it later. We'll do some gaming tables on it whenever. Well, see, that's the problem, is I keep thinking of how to share stuff and how to report information, and most of it, unfortunately, I can't tell you guys anything until it's all over. But when the game's all over, whether it takes us 2 months or 2 years, however long this plays out, as I always do, I will release it one chapter at a time, and the entire thing with the full backstory and everybody's secrets and backstabbing and inner thoughts, all that stuff will be released later, and it's always really, really pretty. So anyway, that'll be Paranoia, but that's down the road. Let's see. Oh, before we get to the meticulously plotted portion, I have more feedback. Yeah, actually, I'm not going to read any feedback. I just like playing that noise. My feedback has been, ever since I mentioned, and this was like 3 episodes ago, I mentioned, boy, I should make t-shirts. And I said that specifically I should make a How Awesome is DM Dark's t-shirt. Nice big logo on the back that says, how awesome is DM Darks? And then on the front, a little pocket logo that says Nerd Pride Radio. Just tiny little thing on the front. My little polo symbol there, whatever it is. And I have had numerous people, in person, by email, by Facebook, and on the website tell me, hey, I would wear that shirt. So, you know what? I should really make that shirt, shouldn't I? I mean, look, I'm intimidated because it's another project and it's another thing to do. And I don't know if it's something that I should offer up for sale or if it's just, yeah, I mean, and if I offered it up for sale, I mean, I'm not looking at making a profit here. I would be offering, you know, find a site that would do it for me. And then once I get it submitted, you know, you guys just take it for cost. That's, I mean, I'm not looking to make a big profit on it or anything. I just want you guys to have shirts if you want shirts, because I would wear that shirt. I would love that shirt. So what I'm going to ask you guys is if anybody wants to give me a design, I mean, right now in my head, all I've got is the idea of just the words. On the back, how awesome is DM Darks? On the front, Nerd Pride Radio with my logo possibly. But see, I don't even have like a large high resolution version of my logo. I think I just have the crappy one that's on my website. So if someone wants to design something for me, something that's a little more involved than just the words, you are welcome to do so. I don't know if anyone's even interested. And if you don't, well, that's fine. I'll come up with something eventually. Eventually, right? I would just love to be wearing that shirt. That would be great. And I suggested that maybe we have Pat's picture on it. But I don't know if that really adds to it. Not that you're not pretty, Pat, because you are. And you're the big spoon. I know. But just because, you know, who's going to recognize Pat other than us, right? Anyway. Well, but maybe. I mean, that does add to the comedic value, doesn't it? How awesome is DM Dark's big picture of a guy's face that nobody would recognize except like seven of us? That'd be pretty funny. Anyway. That's my feedback. T-shirts might do them, might not. We'll see. But I'm excited about the idea. Just don't have the time for it yet. Done with that meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy dandy, nearly shredded, it's falling apart at the seams pocket mod right here in my hands. And the best stuff off of this list, if I can put these pages back together, gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into that master list. First, a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are so very, very close. What this is it's my busy, busy week right here from my pocket mod. This is actually going to be a little bit of everything. I mean, there's some turntable in here. There's some gaming table in here. There's some science fiction double feature in here. But it's what happened during my busy, busy week, why I'm so tired right now, and why this is probably going to wind up being a short cast. And I'm just condensing it all into a report like I did when I did how I spent my summer vacation. It's kind of like that. It's just me babbling for a while. First off, last you guys heard from me, last weekend, we had just finished our awesome, awesome Valentine's Day weekend. And I gave you the full report on that one. Well, the very next night, on Monday night, we drove to Lincoln and we went to go see Real Big Fish in concert at the Bourbon Theater. I think I told you I was going to do that. And it seems weird that we would do our big Valentine's Day weekend that we do every year, and then the very next night go see a concert, a punk rock concert, ska, really, in Lincoln. But it was a gift from my awesome son and his awesome fiance, and we love Real Big Fish, so we went, and it was great. We got there. As we're waiting in line, there's a girl, a little girl, at the head of the line. She is the first person in line, and we hear her parents talking about, they're bragging about how great it is that they take their daughter to all of these different concerts, and they're listing off all these bands that they've seen and blah, blah, blah. And they look like, the kind of hippie parents who would take, their 9-year-old daughter, to go see, punk rock bands for 4-hour concerts in the middle of the night. But, you know, not to stereotype, but, I was guessing there was a little weed there too. But anyway, as they're talking about how awesome it is to go to concerts with their kid, they mentioned that last time they saw Real Big Fish, the band brought their daughter up on stage with them. And I'm like, oh my God, where was that? And they said the waiting room over in Omaha. We're like, we were at that concert. And then the people next to us go, oh, wow, it's like a reunion. We were there, too. So apparently all of us that went to see Real Big Fish in Omaha are also seeing them in Lincoln now, a year or two later, whatever it is. And anyway, that's beside the point. It was a great concert. I had a good time. It wasn't as good as the first time because we were a little more tired. But and also the opening act wasn't as good. All right, first time we saw Real Big Fish in concert, you guys can go back and listen to the whole episode if you want. But we saw the opening act was Biebs and Her Moneymakers. And Biebs and Her Moneymakers are spectacular. They were worth the price of admission by themselves. I mean, if Biebs and Her Moneymakers came to town and they were the only act playing, I would pay to go see them at one of these clubs, all right, where we pay $20 or $30 or $35 to go see bands at these little clubs. I would pay that just to see Biebs and Her Moneymakers because they were wonderful. They were joyous and spectacular, and they just had so much fun on stage. Whereas this time, the opening act was the Maxies, who are from Greenland, which they tell you over and over. And the Maxies had a couple of cute songs, but they had two problems. One, their gimmick, well, their gimmick is comes in two parts. One is that they wear matching red and white costumes with masks, so you can't see any of their faces. And with it comes this F-U attitude that they're sick and tired of political correctness. So F-U, and everything is just them swearing and insulting and bitter, and it's just, it didn't come off well. But also, the other problem that they had, and I hate this when it happens, because it's not really their fault, it's because they're the opening act. But as the opening act, their sound was crap. Oh, they were terrible. Too much distortion. You couldn't make out the lyrics. It was just I hate that when that happens to an opening act. And I feel bad for them. But, you know, what can you do? They come out and they have to set up their own equipment around whatever wires and speakers and amps are already in place for the main act. And so they have to set up their equipment around that. And they have to set it up themselves. And they don't have the money or the roadies or the anything to make it really good. You know? And so you could see the difference because the Maxies got out there, and like I said, a couple of cute songs, but mostly I was just waiting for them to get off stage. And then out came the middle act because, yeah, what concert does middles? This was great. And again, it was Suburban Legends, just like we saw last time. And I don't know how much I raved about Suburban Legends last time, but let me rave again and tell you guys, Suburban Legends are great. All right. Ska music is such happy music to start with. I mean, it's just everything is upbeat and everything is happy. And now Real Big Fish, their gimmick is they write really bitter, angry songs, but they play them in ska, and it's so happy. I mean, it's happy, happy music talking about really awful things, all right, and really awful attitudes. And I love Real Big Fish for that. But Suburban Legends, they opened up with three songs in a row about friendship, and they rocked them, and they had a great attitude, and they were just so much fun on stage. Their lead singer has got some real magnetism to him, and I really enjoyed it. So Suburban Legends, my hat's off to you guys. Really, really cool. And again, Suburban Legends comes out, and again, they're the middle act, and they've been traveling with Real Big Fish for a while. So they come out, and yeah, they're still setting up their own equipment, but they know what they're doing, and they've got better equipment, and the sound was really good, and I was really impressed with them. But then, of course, Real Big Fish comes out, and they've got wireless amps, and they've got a team of roadies. I mean, the roadies who spend how long just making sure every single mic is exactly angled and that, oh yeah, every single mic has a drink holder on it that's holding the appropriate beer for each band member, and that, you know, I mean, they put some detail in, and Real Big Fish just rocked, as they always do. Great attitude. They started off, it was weird, they started off a little slow. I mean, it was like the first three or four songs, you was like, I mean, I'm enjoying them because I know these songs, I love these songs, and, you know, there's so much energy in the room. But it was also almost like they were phoning it in, and then suddenly, yeah, by about the fourth, fifth song, they woke up, and it was, oh, there's that energy. That's what I was looking for. It was a great time. And since I'm an old person going to a young person's concert in a college town, I don't know if any of you saw the picture on Facebook, but my wife and I got to be the only people in that concert with chairs, and it was great. And how do you manage that? Well, we walked in, and there's a bar stool over behind the bar, and so I said, hey, Can I just take that and move it up to the rail? They were like, yeah, we don't care. Go for it. So we moved the chair up to the rail for my wife. And so she had a place to sit. And I thought, well, I'm not going to stand here all through this concert while my wife is sitting. So I went and I searched the rest of the building until I found another area where they had some bar stools lined up. So other people could have pulled this trick if they wanted to. But they had some bar stools lined up in this area where the bar stools are sitting against a fence so that, you know, they're facing into the merchandising area. No one's getting any use out of that. And so, okay, can I steal one of these? Yeah, go ahead. So I just picked up a chair, carried it all the way out to the front, and we had chairs to sit in, and it was awesome. When you're 45 and you're going to a ska concert with a bunch of college kids, get yourself a chair. I highly recommend it. I mean, look, the rest of them were down in the pit, and, I mean, standing room only in the whole place, and there was jumping, and there was slamming, and there was people riding across the top of the crowd and getting thrown out, and all the stuff that usually happens, but I was sitting, and I love that. So anyway, that's enough of that. The next thing we did, that was Monday night. And then later in the week, I played some Pathfinder. That was also awesome. But of course, you know, Pathfinder involves staying up until midnight, one in the morning to play a game, but great time. The plot is thickening. We're fighting a Kraken not yet. We fought a bunch of ogres. And oh, by the way, let me tell you what, I kicked ass as a bard. I kicked ass at this thing. And again, they don't always work, so I don't whip them out very often. But when I do, they pay off. All right, you got to remember, look, all right, for those of you who aren't familiar with Pathfinder, think Dungeons & Dragons. And I'm playing a bard, so I'm the singer of the group. And I didn't even whip out my song this time. No, I'm looking, it's like, oh, it's a bunch of ogres. Pfft, we'll handle this in no time. We've had experience with ogres. So I pull out my grease spell, because they're standing. Look, for once, we don't have all of our people crowded around the enemy, which means, you know, when everybody on your team is crowded around and now all the good guys and bad guys are all together in one bunch, you can't just throw a spell out on top of everybody because you'll wipe out your own friends. For once, I'm in position first. Nobody else is out there. So I throw down a grease spell, make the floor all slippery. Two of the ogres immediately fall off the top of the dam to their deaths. Ah, 2 out of 5 already, and we haven't even started the battle. And then later, I threw out a spell that made one of them sick. And so he ran to the edge to start heaving over the edge, and he also slips, falls to his death. Look at that. 3 out of 5 on me. For once, I was actually useful in combat. Well, I'm always useful in combat, always. But, I mean, as in, like directly effective in taking out enemies myself. Oh, I never get to do that. It was actually kind of a nice switch. But I think next week we're going to fight a Kraken or something. Something similar. Something very large and very tentacled and very scary. And, I'm a little afraid, but I think that's a good attitude going in. All right, so I stayed up really late for Pathfinder after already having the long Valentine's weekend and staying out really late for Real Big Fish. We didn't get home till like 2 in the morning. And then after that, Friday, I'm torn about this. Friday, I actually got a little rest because while we were at the Real Big Fish concert, I see the posters on the wall that say, hey, Friday, Brian Posehn is doing live stand-up at the Bourbon Theater in Lincoln. Oh, my God. I could go see Brian Posehn live at a reasonable price. I could be standing there. Oh, Brian Posehn is awesome. I don't know how familiar you are with Brian Posehn. He's really good friends with Patton Oswalt. They've toured together a lot. He does his own Dungeons & Dragons podcast where they actually podcast their games that they play, him and some other comedians and writer friends and that kind of stuff. And he's just a funny dude. I really like Brian Posehn. I think he's really intelligent and really funny. And he writes Deadpool. I mean, seriously, you can't get much cooler than that. Not the movie Deadpool, the comic book Deadpool. And so I almost, because Lisa kept saying over and over all week long, hey, if you want to go see Brian Posehn, tickets are still available. You can go. Just go. And, you know, she's like, hey, see if Jacob wants to go with you. Jacob would love to see Brian Posehn live. I'm like, yeah, I can't. I can't. I need to get some sleep. And so I wound up not going, which was probably good for me. But part of me is wishing, man, I should have gone to see Brian Posehn. Should have. But here's the thing is, okay, in between all these other late nights, Friday was the one night off. Because then Saturday, last night, we wound up going to a Weebelows lock-in. This is a Cub Scout thing. And it's an overnight event where we show up, we spend 24 hours all together, and we wound up sleeping in the gym at the college where Jacob goes to school. And we had this lock-in where they worked on activity after activity after activity. They earned like 8 badges while they were there, which, if you don't know Cub Scouts and you don't know Weeblos, 8 badges is a lot. They got a lot done, and they had a blast doing it. Every single thing they went to, they enjoyed the crap out of. Noah could not stop raving about what a great time he had. Next morning he woke up, he had to go find the person who was running it and tell her, hey, this was a 10 out of 10, I would do it again. Those were his words. We had such fun. I mean, it really was. I mean, they built birdhouses, and they learned how to change headlights, and they used a stud finder and did some construction stuff. And then there was all sorts of art projects with drawing, coloring, sculpting, origami. They did science, and Noah got to be super smart with science, and I was so proud of him because, I mean, look, the guy's talking about planets, and he very dismissively throws Pluto away. As of course, one of the kids asks and says, well, there's only 8 up there. And he says, yeah, well, that's because Pluto's not a planet. Yeah, I know your parents will get really angry about this, but Pluto's not a planet. And it just, oh, yeah, you little whippersnapper, how dare you? How dare you blow off my concerns like that? I mean, you guys know how I feel about Pluto. And so, I mean, I'm like, yeah, well, sure. Other parents have given you that crap but you can dismiss them because they're just upset because Pluto was a planet when they were a kid and now it's not anymore. And so they have petty concerns and you're like a real scientist guy. Okay, I get that. But you haven't talked to me yet. And I have real concerns. I have legitimate concerns and I can show you why this is stupid. I can logic my way out of this one, baby. But fortunately, I didn't have to do any of that because Noah spoke up for me. And you could see him wanting to, because Noah talks a lot and he asks a lot of questions. And so sometimes people are ready, okay, we kind of need to get this moving. So they want to just kind of dismiss him a little bit. But Noah started explaining to him how, well, actually, Pluto's not only a planet because it's round and it's going around the sun. He said, but also Pluto's moon. And he couldn't remember the name of the moon, but the guy fed it to him, and Chiron. And he says, yeah. Noah says, yeah, well, Pluto and its moon should actually be a double planet. Because when they go around each other, the spot that they go around is outside of both of them. And so it should be 2 planets and not just a planet and its moon. And you could see the guy was really impressed. Because, I mean, it, like, apparently my children pay attention when I rant and rave about stuff. It was just cool. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, and they did science and they did sports. Noah and I played racquetball, which was great. I haven't played racquetball since I was 12 years old, going to the Y with my friends. And you would have to, when we were at the Y, if you got to the racquetball courts, because it was usually, look, we were waiting around for swimming lessons to start. But if you were there and you had time for racquetball and you were there after school but before people got off work, maybe a kid could squeeze into a racquetball court. But normally we couldn't get in because the adults always had preferential treatment. For good reason, because they actually knew how to play and did it well. So I haven't played racquetball since I was 12. And Noah and I played racquetball. He's never played before. And we had a blast. We had an absolute blast. And I showed him the actual rules to the game. But you know what? He's 9, and it was just us having fun. And we were just smacking around. And hey, whoever gets it. And let's just keep the ball moving as much as we can. And it was awesome. And, we played basketball, and he ran track with the other kids, and he was making up rules to track games, because he makes up rules to games all the time. And we wound up not getting to sleep until 1:30 or 2 in the morning, but it was wonderful. It was a great, great time. And I'm probably leaving out a good half dozen things that we did, because, again, they got 8 badges done. I was really impressed with them. So it was a fun time. And I got another lock-in for the Boy Scouts next weekend, but next weekend's lock-in is just, it's the one that Eli organized, and it's going to be all the Boy Scouts spending the night in this building, and we've got nothing on the agenda but playing games all night. We're going to bring all of our board games, all of our card games. We're going to hang, and I might even talk some of them to play Kobolds with me, because I still have to do another test run of Kobolds. Because I'm so excited to give feedback and just to try it out again. So we're probably going to do that. But anyway, that was the lock-in. And then, wait, that's not all for this week. I know, I said that was last night. Well, today Aiden had a huge date with his girlfriend who lives in a town many, many miles away from us. And they've been off and on again together for 2 years now, 2.5. So anyway, I hadn't even gotten back from the lock-in yet, and Lisa gets up at S30 hour of the morning this morning, bright and early, to drive with Aiden to go pick up his girlfriend from said neighboring town and then bring her back because their date today was going to be, well, they wanted to play some video games and hang out a little bit because they hadn't seen each other in a while. And then also church and Deadpool. Those were the two events. And then with a lunch in between where they went out for sushi. But church and Deadpool, that was their date. And I thought, well, if ever there was an appropriate matchup, I guess, there's balance here. A little yin, a little yang. It balances. So she went to church with us this morning, and it was an odd experience having a stranger in church. I mean, like, with us as our guest, because you realize how odd some portions of your service may be to an outsider. I mean, it's a Catholic service, you know, so we had to warn her ahead of time of all the, you know, sit down, stand up, kneel, pray, stand up again, sit, you know, the whole business, which, you know, everyone hears about that's, you know, that's the stereotype of doing aerobics in Catholic church. But it's also true. That's why that joke is out there, is because that's really what we do every time. And so we warned her about that, and we wound up, I had to warn her about the sign of peace. I said, look, you don't have to participate in any of the stuff that goes on. If you don't want to kneel, if you don't want to do any of these things, you don't have to. You can just sit there. You're a guest, and it's no big deal. No one's going to look at you funny. No one's going to wonder what's going on. If you don't choose to participate, you don't have to. Don't worry about it. I said, but there is one. I said, when it gets to the sign of peace, I said, you know, you're going to hear the priest say the word peace about 10 times. That's how you know it's coming. And then we're all going to be standing up, and we're all going to shake hands and greet all of our neighbors around us. And every time, you know, you shake hands and peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. And you shake hands all around with everybody. As I was talking about it, I forgot to tell them the story afterwards too. I love the sign of peace. Okay. Not because of the social aspect of it and the getting to meet people and shake hands and all that part. No. The sign of peace for me, it's always been this obligatory portion of the Mass where you stand up and you shake hands. But we went to church one time, I don't know if it was Christmas or if it was Easter or if it was just some other odd occasion, but we happened to be at church with my wife's grandparents, and back when her grandfather was alive, Grandpa Lenny. And Grandpa Lenny is an awesome guy, was an awesome guy. And I mean, just an amazing, I mean, he's an old farmer. Extremely sensitive dude. He was just sweet and kind and just a nice guy. I can't say enough about how much I like this guy. Everybody liked him. And I remember being in church with them, and Grandpa Lenny was way down at the other end of the pew from where I was sitting. And when we got to the sign of peace and we go around and we shake hands with everybody, as I turn, because you get done shaking hands, and now you're looking around, okay, is there anyone I missed? Anyone who's looking for a hand? Anyone? And I just happened to catch his eye, and he's way too far away from me to shake hands. But I saw him mouth the words, peace be with you, and he just flashed me the peace sign. I mean, just two fingers up, just like an old hippie. Here was this old farmer, and he's flashing me the peace sign and gives me the peace be with you from the other end. And there was something so genuine and so sweet about that I absolutely loved it. It touched me. It was just a little moment between me and Grandpa Lenny, and probably the only moment we ever had. I mean, I've talked to him and that kind of stuff, but it was just really sweet. And so whenever I think of Grandpa Lenny, now that he's gone, because people talk about him all the time, whenever I think of him, I always think of that sign of peace. There was just something about that really touched me, and it was sweet. And so I try and do that same sort of thing, is that when we do the sign of peace, if there's anyone I can't reach but I can catch their eye, I always give them the peace sign because of Grandpa Lenny. I love that. I think that was really cool. Anyway, but that was church. And, and then the other thing in church, I've not had this one happen to us before. We got a new priest. And I hate to complain, but I'm gonna. It was, look, Catholic Mass is already pretty long. There's already a lot going on there. And we spent 5 minutes watching the new priest do dishes. 5 minutes. I mean, it seemed like 2 hours, but I'm guessing it was about 5 minutes. Because here's the thing. When you get done with the Eucharist, all right, so you've got your body of Christ there, and they got the extra wafers, and they put the extra wafers away, and they put them in a lockbox to keep them safe. But then you've got all these bowls that had been used to hand out the body of Christ through the service. And these empty bowls still have some crumbs in them. And you got to be very careful because the crumbs are still holy. They're still already consecrated. You can't just let those go. You can't just sweep them in the trash. That's the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he very carefully pours a little bit of water into the first bowl. He swishes it around. He dumps it into the second bowl. And then very carefully dries that first dish and sets it aside. All right, now we swirl it around in the second bowl and get all the crumbs. Then we dump it over into the third bowl. Well, there's like 8 bowls here. And he was just super careful. He's a new priest. He just wanted to make sure he was treating the body of Christ with proper reverence. I get that. But none of the other priests do that. Dude, seriously, it's a long time to watch you do dishes. A long time. And then, in case you've never been and you're wondering, well, what does he do when he gets to the end of it? Ah, well, when you get to the very end and you've now all the bowls are clean and you've got all that water in that last bowl, you very carefully dump that back into the chalice where there's that little bit of leftover wine in the bottom. And then he drinks all that. So therefore, all the body of Christ is either safely locked away or consumed. Nothing is allowed to hit the garbage, hit the floor, leave this area at all. All right. Fine. But man, it was a long time. All right. Anyway, enough about church. The exciting part of the day, of course, was Deadpool. So, after church, I dropped them off. They went out for sushi for lunch, which she hated, which, you know, okay, it happens. But she really, really wanted to try sushi. So it's not like, I mean, she hated it, yes, but it's not like it was forced on her. She really wanted this experience, and now she's had it. I went through the same thing. Okay, I'll try sushi. Okay, yeah, never doing that again. And then we went to Deadpool, and I'm not going to rant and rave about it. Not going to go on except to say that, whoa, it was just as great as everybody was promising me. Oh, that thing was so good. There are so many good things about Deadpool, I don't even know where to start. All right, and you remember my rant last week where I talked about how, look, it's R-rated, it needs to be R-rated, that's the spirit of Deadpool, that's the... Okay, this was a harder R than I was even expecting, and I loved it. It was glorious, wonderful. I didn't sit with Aiden and his girlfriend, which was bad because... This is exactly the sort of thing that I would love to be sitting next to Aiden or Jacob while we're watching this movie so that we can lean over each other and just, oh my God, that kind of stuff, just to share those little moments because it was the kind of movie where, oh God, we would be patting each other on the back all the time going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. All right. And so I'm sorry that I didn't get to share that with them, but I'm also really glad I wasn't sitting with them because when I say hard R, there was some content in there that, yeah, I would have been very uncomfortable sitting near his girlfriend while it happened because, look, they're both adults, all right? They're both 18. It's not like there's anything wrong with them going to see a movie like this. And yet I still, you know, they're still kids to me. So even though they're adults, still kids. And I would have felt uncomfortable, not with my own kid, because, look, I'm the parent. I can choose to bring them here. I can choose to, you know. But I would feel uncomfortable with someone else's teenage kid that I've now brought to this movie, which technically I didn't really bring them because Aiden wanted to pay for everything and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what I mean. So I was glad I wasn't near them at the time because I think that would have made me a little uncomfortable thinking that I've got someone else's kid here. Adult kid, yes, but kid still. I would have felt a little weird about that. But as it was, I sat by myself in a movie theater, which I've not done ever in my life, ever. And I watched a movie alone, and I loved the crap out of it. Deadpool's amazing. Amazing. All right. So anyway, that's my whole week. All right. And now, like I say, next week, got another lock-in. Going to be playing a lot of games. We've got a bonus game of Pathfinder in the middle of the week. I think it may be all gaming table next week. We'll see what happens. But anyway, enough of that. We're on to, oh, it's time for Right Said Thread. I'm too sexy for my forums. Too sexy for my forums. The way I'm Discord dancing. Yeah, my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Right Said Thread is where I come in, and just a thread on my forums at nerdpriderator.com/forums, a thread that has just struck me as really, really funny and is appropriate to share on the podcast, because some of them you kind of had to be there, but some of them, all right, you'll get it if I just read it off to you, and that's what I'm going to do here. So we have our Nerd Pride Radio Deadpool contest going on, where we tried to figure out which celebrity is going to die during the year and try and score points based on that. And yes, a lot of people think it's a little gruesome and a little dark. And this year is going to be a banner year, because we're only on February and we've already got three people on the board. We got points going, man. No, or do we only have two people on the board? It doesn't matter. So many people are dying this year, which I guess is a really horrible thing for me to be celebrating. But man, there's a lot of movement going on. And Talvin, here's the deal. Talvin had an odd experience in that he got his first Deadpool death this week. All right. Now, Talvin's been playing a long time. I didn't realize this was the first death he's ever scored. And he had that conflicted feeling you get the first time you get a Deadpool death. I mean, you know, I remember Kyle telling me, I don't know if this was his first death necessarily, but I remember Kyle, when he was playing, this was the year before I started, and it was just him and his buddies at work. Or maybe I was in on that one, but anyway, it doesn't matter. For him, I had never scored any points yet. That's all I remember. And he says it was just weird that he's sitting there and the TV's on in the background, and all of a sudden the little scroll comes across the bottom of the screen and he sees the name Buddy Ebsen on the screen, and he turns and he's like, oh, Buddy Ebsen? Buddy Ebsen is dead, yes! And he starts cheering, and it's the kind of thing, and he reports feeling really conflicted about that, because he realizes now in front of his kids he's cheering somebody's death because, well, it's points. And you get over that eventually. I mean, look, people are going to die. It happens. It's not like we're behind it. We're just profiting off of it, I suppose. And look, for me, my very first Deadpool death was a Pope, for goodness sake. So I understand the feeling, but you get over it. Well, this is Talvin's first one, and he's got that going. And so he mentions that this is his first Deadpool death. And a lot of people chime in. You know, Lucy's like, yeah, see, that's why I can't play. Lucy is convinced that if she plays, she will be killing people. She is convinced that if she puts names in, she'll win, and people on her list will be dying left and right, and they will die solely because she chose them, and it will be her fault. That's not how you kill celebrities. Look, I've already covered that with my killing of – oh, great. I'm going to draw my mental block again. Thanks, guys, Alan Rickman and Phil Hartman. See, it's not from the Deadpool. Deadpool's never worked that way. I wish they did. God, if it was only so easy as just writing down the name and then winning, I would love that. But that's not how it works with celebrity death. But anyway, back to the Right Said Thread. So in this discussion, Talvin says, and here's where I'm reading. Talvin says, during lunch, my wife mentioned that Harper Lee died. I told her I felt bad about it and explained about the Deadpool. She now thinks I'm a horrible person. My wife responds and says, yeah, but a horrible person who's winning. And then Talvin says, wait, did you just call me Donald Trump? Or Charlie Sheen? All right, and that was funny enough to me. Okay, that was funny enough that I had to stop what I was doing on my phone and read it off to Yancey in the office just to go, oh my God, check this. All right, but then a little bit later, I go back and look again, and now, all right, yes, a horrible person who's winning. Wait, did you just call me Donald Trump? Or Charlie Sheen? And then my wife replies back later and says, no, I don't think they've killed anybody. Yeah, play on that guilt. Oh, God, I love that. So anyway, Talvin, yeah, I know you feel bad, buddy, but you'll get over it. It's really, I mean, honestly, maybe this isn't the kind of person you want to be, but trust me, a year from now, 2 years from now, you'll be able to cheer a celebrity death without feeling any guilt. All right? It'll be great. You'll love it. Trust me. All right. Next segment I've got. You know what we haven't done in even longer than Right Said Thread? The Word of the Week. This is crazy. I actually have a Word of the Week. And my Word of the Week is dude. Dude. All right. My wife calls kids dude in the classroom all the time, because it's It's a fun word. I dude people all the time. My kids dude me all the time. And they will quite often, when I'll say something and my kid will respond with, dude, what? And I'm like, did you just dude me? All right. It's a great word. Right? Dude is an awesome word. But one of her students came to her and said, yeah, my mom says that that's not a very nice word. She says it comes from something really dirty. And then my wife starts to panic and she's like, what? It's really? Dude? That can't be right. Can't be right. She's like, oh, but if she thinks it is, if someone thinks it's from a dirty word, maybe it is. And do I have to start finding another word to call people? Because I don't think I can stop saying dude. All right. And so she brings it to me. And so we do some research. And as it turns out, yeah, no. The theory that dude is a dirty word or derived from something dirty is they're completely off their nut. All right. Totally wrong. Because, and here's where I thought it was awesome. All right. Dude, before meaning just dude. All right. Dude now is just any dude. But before that, dude was someone who was fancied up, all duded up. All right. You see it a lot in Westerns, that Western people referring to city slickers as dudes. All right. And that comes from Yankee Doodle, which I never knew that that's where it came from. It comes from the doodle in Yankee Doodle. Specifically, Yankee Doodle is a song making fun of a hick who thinks he's fancy. All right, a hick who is dressing himself up so he can pretend he's all gentrified and citified, but he's still a hick. That's the Yankee Doodle, and that's what that song means, is the song is making fun of a dude who'll stick a feather in his hat and call it macaroni. Macaroni apparently meaning something fancy at that time, rather than just a great meal with cheese. Oh, God. All right. I'm sorry. I told you my mind is addled. Have I given you that quote from Steven Universe yet? Oh, at one point, you're walking through, and hey, what you eating? Oh, macaroni cheese. And she's opened all the boxes of macaroni, and she's just tore open the cheese packets, and she's dumping cheese packets into her mouth. So what are you eating? Macaroni cheese. She's just eating straight powder. Okay, later, same episode, there's Steven sitting at the table, and someone walks in and goes, hey, Steven, what you eating? Macaroni and nothing. Oh, that's one of my favorite quotes ever. But macaroni was really not even related to this topic. So anyway, it comes from Yankee Doodle. All right. So I'm like, all right, well, what if we go back further? All right, because Doodle, all right, I can see where Doodle, the Yankee Doodle, and then go to Doodle, and then just shorten it down to Dude, spelled various ways until they settle on modern Dude. But okay, maybe Doodle comes from something dirty before that. And apparently, no, it doesn't. More than likely, it comes from German, and I don't remember, I don't have it written down, so I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Doodletopf, and which, according to the sources I saw, simply meant nightcap. Literally means nightcap, but it was used to mean an idiot, or as they always say in these definitions, it's a foolish person. But yeah, it meant idiot, and so doodle became a short term for idiot or fool, and now Yankee Doodle is the Yankee fool who thinks he's all fancy, and then we get dude. Look, I've gone back 400, 500 years in this word at least, and it still ain't dirty. All right. So my wife calls that kid's mom and goes, okay, I'm baffled. Is dude a dirty word? And the mom just starts laughing because clearly the kid has misunderstood the conversation. No, dude in common usage is not a dirty word in any way. But apparently dude, and I don't know if this is just one of those internet things that, oh, it's true because everyone's passed it around on the internet, or if it's an actual thing, but the story, and I've seen it verified in again, just internet sources, nothing official, but dude apparently refers to either a hair on an elephant's ass or an infected hair on an elephant's ass or it's something like that. And that's the, all right, whatever. Okay, good. Then thank God this mom isn't an idiot, because we were really kind of worried for a minute that, seriously? Because she's not the kind of person who would normally take offense at something like that anyway. And no, and she turns out she wasn't. It was really funny to her too. So the end result is, even though it was a misunderstanding on this kid's part, it still led me to do a whole bunch of research on the word dude, which was educational. I was really happy about all that. So, you know, I share. That's what I do. All right. This was going to be a short podcast, and it's already too late for that, so we're going to get out a couple of Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, right there, in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. My first number here, 35. 35 is... bang, look at that. I even have my list ready. Oh, you guys didn't have faith in me this time, did you? 35 is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, what is your favorite track on Divergence? All right. I would swear I've answered this question, but all right. Look, I'm sorry. You asked me what my favorite track is on Divergence, and I just saw a trailer for the latest movie coming out in the Divergent series. And I'm thinking, okay, wait, what are the tracks in Divergence? There's the brainy ones and the brave ones, but oh, what do they call them? Dauntless and oh God, I can't even remember because I have to pick weird words for everything. And then as I'm thinking that, I'm reading the rest of her question where it says, also, if it's not Butterfly Jig, oh, you mean, yeah, from the Sphere Ensemble album, Divergence. So my favorite track on Divergence, it's Butterfly Jig. It's obviously Butterfly Jig. I love that song. I love that song before they put the album together. The first time it was played for me, first time I saw it online. I love Butterfly Jig. It is gorgeous. I mean, I love a good jig to start with, and Butterfly Jig is a great one. Because she's saying, look, if it's not Butterfly Jig, why isn't it Butterfly Jig? Well, it is Butterfly Jig. That's the greatest song on that album. Although, again, look, I know you people don't listen to me sometimes, so if you haven't gone and bought Divergence, the album by Sphere Ensemble, go buy it now. I don't ask you for any money from me, all right? I'm offering to sell you t-shirts at cost if I can ever get off my ass to actually make some t-shirts. I want nothing from you monetarily, but I would like you to go support my friends because they deserve it. All right. So go find Sphere Ensemble and buy their album. It's beautiful. It's really, really good. I mean, the covers on there are great. All the Robots. I love that song. I love their covers. I love Butterfly Jig. I like all the music on it, but, you know, again, I think as Dave said, and this is, by the way, my friend Dave Short, who is Eliahad on my forums, I think it was Dave who pointed out that, yeah, look, people who are already into classical music like their classical pieces and their original pieces better, and people who aren't into classical music or aren't into, I got my terminology all wrong, but anyway, people who aren't into it already prefer the covers, and I'm willing to be that stereotype, yes. Because, you know, covers give me something at least I recognize. They give me a context to put all these strings into. So it's a great album. You guys really, really, really need to go listen. All right. Anyway, enough of that. 76 is... I got to remember to talk when I'm scrolling. 76 is from Kyle. Oh, wait. I don't think I numbered that last one. What was that? 35, was it? I can't remember. Let's get up there. Yeah, it's 35. That's what I'm looking for. 35 is number one. There we go. Sorry about that, guys. I know this is really, really boring radio, but you're going to have to put up with it if I don't want to keep repeating questions over and over. I got to remember to number them. All right. 76 is from? It's from Kyle. Kyle says, and it starts off with 29, because this was the 29th question in the list that he sent me. I'm involved in a highly contested rivalry with Yancey right now on Soda Crush Saga, where we keep trying to get to a higher level than the other. Does he passlock his phone? If not, can you go delete his game? Thanks, bro. Really? Soda Crush Saga? All right, I've seen him play Candy Crush before. But, I mean, and Candy Crush, what are they up to now? Level, I think my wife, because she stopped playing for a while. She played Candy Crush for a while. She goes in phases. And then she'll hit a point where either she's really bored or she's putting something off or whatever. And so she'll play Candy Crush for like 2 or 3 days in a row. And then she'll quit again for a month or so. But my wife is up to like level 470-something or 480-something in Candy Crush. And I think Yancey's over 1,000. Do they have 1,000 levels yet? I can't remember. He's obsessive on Candy Crush. Soda Crush, I don't think I've ever even seen. But no, he does not pass lock his phone. And I would be happy to go in there. He doesn't pass lock anything. I got on his computer the other day and I installed the, the Nicolas Cage extension for his Chrome browser so that every time he goes on the internet, every picture on the internet is replaced with a picture of Nicolas Cage. And they've got tons of pictures of Nicolas Cage to replace them with. I think it just does it draws from whatever the top, 10 picks or top 20 picks of Nicolas Cage are on a Google image search, and then it just substitutes all of your pictures for those. And it's brilliant. And so, yeah, I just went onto his computer while he was in the bathroom, installed Nick Cage, and then just sat quietly and waited. And the thing was, he got on and he didn't even notice at first. And then he did notice and he thought, oh, must be something wrong with that site. And he just kept working. Like, he just kept going to the internet. He'd do stuff. He'd, do his research or go, whatever he's going to do on the internet. And then he goes back and he kept going and he would never comment on the fact that Nicolas Cage is on everything. At some point, a dude's got to look up and go, hey, go check the internet. Is every picture Nicolas Cage? I mean, you got to ask that, right? You have to notice. So finally, I'm like, I got to say something. I hate to piss on my own joke, but I got to. So finally, I'm like, wow, you really like Nicolas Cage. He's like, yeah, I don't know what's going on, but this site, everything I look at is Nicolas Cage. I'm like, dude, that was me. God, can't you even oh, man. But it's still pretty funny. And then he decided he'd leave it like that for a little bit. And he did for a couple of days until he actually needed something where the images were important. And he changed it back. But he was very, very happy to be able to go take that and put it on his son's computer. So, you spread the love. That's what I think. Did I finish answering the question? Oh, yeah, he doesn't pass lock anything. I'll go on there and delete whatever games you want, man. It's fine. Although, don't you just sign on to an account for those, right? So it's not like it's going to make any difference. I'll delete it on his phone, and then he'll just go home, and it'll still be there. I mean, he'll just log into his account, and it's still there. Unless if it's not locked, I could go to the game, and can I reset the game? I don't know how those work. I haven't played anything since Farmville, Farmville and Spirit Stones. And then since then, I haven't played any games like that. But anyway, doesn't matter. The new number's been rolled, and it's 7. So let's go on up to 7. And 7 is from, there it is, it's from Kyle again. Holy cripes, man. Kyle says, I'm a fan of anthology movies. Even with the recognition that some entries aren't great. Have you seen Trick or Treat? Yeah, I did. That was all right. He disagrees. He says, awesome, but I'll also take a Creepshow or a VHS or an ABCs of Death anytime. It definitely appeals to me because the SNL effect lets me forgive the bad entries because of the appeal of the great entries. Any favorites? I'm not a fan of anthology movies. I mean, look, when you think of anthology movies, the first one I think of the Cat's Eye? What was the one with the cat with Stephen King? I can't remember. Was that Cat's Eye? Was it? I don't remember. Doesn't matter. That's the only one I can think of, because I had the cat one, and it had the guy who was out on the ledge, and I was so disappointed in that one because I had read all of the short stories, and they were all way better as short stories. I remember Creepshow, and I remember it being crappy, but I also remember enjoying it when I was younger. But I don't think I've seen an anthology movie in a long time that was worth anything. Hold on. Let me go out to Google and I'll take a look at anthology movies and see if there's one that I'm just not thinking of. Cause I hate anthology movies, or I think I do. So I have this block. Let's go find out. Okay. And Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone was not bad, but Twilight Zone was also kind of a rehash of old Twilight Zone episodes you'd already seen. and not done as well. So, I mean, they, you know, they prettied them up, but they weren't as effective as the originals, I didn't think. Okay. So anyway, I'm looking at Google, and I do, horror anthology movies, and so it gives me a strip of them across the top of the page. So I'm just going to roll through these. Creepshow, I've seen. Mentioned that one already. Dead of Night, 1945. Don't know anything about it. VHS. I've got VHS on my list to watch. I didn't even know it was an anthology movie. That's how bad I am. Trilogy of Terror. Never seen. That was 1975. We've got Asylum. Tales from the Crypt. VHS 2, obviously. I'm trying to find ones I've seen. Tales of Terror. Why are these all 1960s and 1970s? There's Creepshow 2, Vault of Terror, The House That Dripped Blood, Cat's Eye. Hey, I was right about that one. It was Cat's Eye. Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, Creepshow 3, Monster Club, Torture Garden, Two Evil Eyes. My goodness, I haven't seen any of these. Terror Track, The Uncanny, After Midnight, The Theater Bazaar, Screams of Winter Night. No. I like anthology TV series. I think those work really, really well. But I guess I haven't seen any anthology movies, at least horror ones. I haven't seen any of them other than Creepshow and, Twilight Zone. That counts as horror. And Cat's Eye. Those would be the three I've seen, and I haven't seen any of the rest of these. But anthology TV shows I really like. I mean, you know, you gotta love the original Twilight Zone. I loved Masters of Horror, Outer Limits. These are all good anthology TV shows. I can dig that. You'll get enough of those. So, and I even liked, Tales from the Crypt. When that sucker was on, there was just something about that, oh yeah, it was cheesy. It was cheesy, but it was really good directors with really good actors. A lot of time, there's a lot of recognizable actors in Tales from the Crypt. If you go watch that one, a lot of recognizable actors. I mean, there's real talent there, and they're putting all of that talent into doing the campiest, most over-the-top cheese fest of horror ever. And yeah, and you know, some of them you see coming from a mile away, and oh, they're overacting and they are playing it to the hilt, but it was glorious for all that. It was really pulpy and really good. So yeah, movies though, now outside of the horror genre, I can't think of any. You know what? I've done enough Google. Let's do one more because Kyle's gotten two in a row here. So let's give someone else a chance. 31. Is that 31? Okay, good. It's not 13. Sometimes I don't pay attention. You know what I mean? All right, 31 is from, it's from Daz. Sweet. And Daz says, what color is the podcast? The podcast is blue. It is blue in the, it's the same color as my Nerd Pride Radio logo. It's blue with some highlights of orange in it. Just because blue is a nice, cool color. It's calming, it's friendly, it's happy, but it's also got a little orange to display the excitement that goes along with it. That's how you feel those colors. So there you go. All right. We are all done. Let's turn it over to GLaDOS. She's got a recap of this episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye? And you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and I didn't bother with any bumper music this week. Let's see, you want instructions on making your own pocket mod, like the one I have that's falling apart right here in my hot little hands? You go over to pocketmod.com, get all the instructions you need right there. You want to do something nice for this, because speaking of origami, it was killing me while they were doing the art section at the Weeblos lock-in, and they got to origami. I so badly wanted to pull out my pocket mod and just show off the, oh, look, technically origami right here, babies. And no, it would have been a little out of place, I think, and I don't think anyone would have been impressed with my little folding notebook, but I am, because I love this thing. All right, you want to do something nice for my podcast? You can subscribe to it in iTunes or Pocket Casts or whatever podcast subscription service you use. You go ahead and subscribe to it. Give me credit. And do some reviews. Give me some nice 5-star reviews somewhere. That always helps me out. But seriously, best thing you're going to do, recommend it to your friends. You like it. Tell other people about them. Let them enjoy this as well. Bring other people on board. We're full of joy here. We got room for plenty more. We can fit some other people in here. Look. There's room right here on the seat next to me. Come on. Hang out with me. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for that Podomatic, and watch every week on the forums and Facebook for Listener Betrayal, which is coming up any moment now. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me, along with Nerd Pride Radio Smells Like, maybe some co-hosts, maybe some sponsors for this podcast. Save me from all that grueling research. My contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter. I'm going to get some other social media accounts coming up here. I realize I really need to get Tumblr, and I really need to get, I don't know what else is out there, but all those social media, and it'll be Nerd Pride Radio on all of that. Facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Sign up there. Send me a message. We will hang out together. Become best friends in the world. We might even go to conventions together. We'll hang out. We'll wear matching t-shirts. Oh, we'll be best friends in the world. We'll have fun. You know what time it is now? It's Listener Betrayal. Before I start every podcast, I go out on the internet, and in some of my favorite places, I will post up that, hey, we are recording right now. I'm recording right now. If you guys want to join me, post up, and I will read it off right here on the show. So, here's what I got. Let's go out to my forums, and at nerdprideradio.com/forums, and I have one, and it is from Kaz. Kaz says, yay, I made another betrayal. Oh, dude, that always makes me happy. He says, now, how awesome is Ryan Reynolds? So awesome. Oh, he was glorious. I mean, really, Ryan Reynolds was so good in this. He was so Deadpool. He was so much fun. And he made fun of himself a lot in this movie. And made fun of the Wolverine Origins version of Deadpool, and made fun of himself again in Green Lantern. And he was just, again, I've always said, look, Ryan Reynolds, for being the sexiest man alive, and being known as kind of a pretty boy and this kind of stuff, he has taken this role serious. He's been living it. He has been doing the PR for it, and he is just right on with the whole Deadpool attitude, and he's willing to do a huge movie like this where he spends the majority of the movie either hideously scarred and ugly or under a mask, all right? I mean, look, you still get to see his leather-clad butt, and you also get to see his naked butt, and you get to see his naked butt again, and, well, you see his dong, but, you know, hey, you know, that's not what you're there for, right? You're there to see Deadpool. All right, and Ryan Reynolds, again, and it would... I'm sure it was a CGI dong. All right. Just, it was, anyway, I can't give details. What am I talking about? But it was great. It was great. And Ryan Reynolds is a wonderful dude for making this movie for us. Not that, you know, not that he necessarily wrote anything or all of that, but the fact that he put the force of his Van Wilder personality behind this thing and made this character right. I'm really happy about that. All right. Kaz then says, further, do you plan to see The Witch anytime soon? No. I do plan to see it. I really, really want to see it. But I'm mad at The Witch. So, I saw trailers for it a while back and thought it looked awesome. I was surprised because, look, it's a cheesy horror flick, right? It's from a small company. But the trailer looked really good. And then I see some excitement about it. It's gotten great reviews. Great reviews. The audience doesn't like it, but the critics do. And I think it's a little brainy is the impression I'm getting, or that it is not what people were expecting, which is great for me. Look, if it's not matching your expectations, awesome. I'm probably going to enjoy it more because I don't like expectations when I go to a movie. And what sold it for me was Patton Oswalt tweeted out and says The Witch is a true face peeler. All right, he's talking about this is a great horror movie until suddenly you realize, no, that's just the setup for an even scarier movie than that. All right, now that is an endorsement I can get behind because Patton Oswalt is smart, and he's funny, and he's a guy I really like, and he's a nerd supreme. He is my kind of dude. I respect his opinion, and if he's going to tell me that The Witch is a super scary movie that turns out to be the setup for an even super scarier movie, I'm on board. So I really want to see The Witch. However, you guys know I play the Fantasy Movie League, and I was all set up. I had 7 Kung Fu Pandas and a witch. 7 Kung Fu Pandas and a witch. That is probably the winning combination this week, as it turns out now. All right. But then Thursday night preview numbers came out, and Witch overperformed on Thursday night. Witch did some real serious business Thursday night, which is no necessary promise that it's going to do well for the whole weekend, but it looked like it would. It was the kind of thing that, compared to a couple other movies of the same type, that, you know, if it makes that much Thursday, then it's looking at making, you know, 12 million over the weekend, maybe 13. And then the initial estimates came out, and people were saying, oh yeah, maybe 13. Holy cow. All right. $13 million for opening weekend. That's what we're looking at. All right. And so at the last minute, I mean, like with literally 10 minutes to go before they locked the screens down, I switched from 7 pandas and a witch to 8 witches. I loaded up my entire Cineplex with witches. And then it bombed. And didn't bomb, actually. It's overperformed. Look, The Witch is actually beating the studio's expectations by a mile. It's beating all of the original projections for it. It's doing really, really well. It's just not doing as well as I thought it would from the Thursday numbers. And thus, I am losing a shit ton of money this week on the Fantasy Movie League. The initial estimates came out, and I was at like 270th place out of, you know, 14,000 people. And I fell to 860 on the more recent estimates. And then the next day, new estimates came out, and I jumped back up to 680. We won't actually get final numbers till tomorrow sometime. But, yeah, I actually think when it's all said and done, I may be out of the top 1,000. I may have really crapped the bed on this one. I got the shit cracker, as Nelly once said to me. So, man, this is bad. So, I don't know what a shit cracker is, but it sounds horrible, doesn't it? Horrible. So, so I'm mad at The Witch right now. And also, I can't go out and see more movies at the theater. That's just, it's too much. It's too much. I'll save this one for when it comes out on video. But yeah, I'm really excited to see The Witch. I'm just mad at it right now. I'm not done with Kaz. Kaz says, last thing, this week I parted with about 50 gaming books. Have you ever reached a point where you sell or donate things from your collection? Nope. Not since that garage sale when I was 17 years old. When I was in high school and we decided to put a bunch of stuff on garage sale. No, not even 17. 16, 15? Oh, no, it was younger than that. All right, it doesn't make any difference. We decided we were going to put a whole bunch of stuff on the garage sale. And so we did. And then my dad sold it all off for dirt cheap. And ever since then, no, I don't sell any of my game stuff. I wouldn't mind. But also, I don't, you know, since I had kids, I don't collect nearly as much stuff as I used to. And since I had 4 kids, I hardly collect anything. Although, you know, it's starting to build up now. But right now, I've got, you know, a couple of shelves full of game books down there. Not nearly as much as you'd think. A couple of shelves full of game books, and I could part with some of that, but, yeah, at this point, it's not any big deal. And then I've got a huge stack of games with all the board games and card games. And as I keep collecting board games and card games, as I've gotten more into them, doing more different tabletop stuff, I may get to the point where I'm going to want to get rid of some of those. There will be some that I just never play anymore, and it's, you know, those take up a lot of space. But I haven't reached that point yet, but I will. And when it happens, it'll be sad, but it'll be stuff that's like, look, we've got this huge stack, and I haven't played this game in 3 years, or 7 years, or 10 years, and you know what? It's time to let someone else try it out and see if they like it. You know what I mean? So no, I haven't gotten to that yet, but I might. All right. That's it for my forums. Let's go out to Facebook, see if anyone responded there. And they did. It, of course, starts off with Nelly first. And Nelly says, hello, hello. This has been an intense week or two. Yeah, I know. I passed my green card interview. I know. Congratulations. I passed my written and practical U.S. driving test. Oh, good for you. Did you have to, I had to take it since my international license was due to expire. This weekend marks 1 year from which he was, okay. Oh, wow. All right. Wow. This is a long one now. All right. This weekend marks 1 year from which he was diagnosed with cancer. So I assume Derek. Lots going on. We bought a new car, or a new for us car. Yeah, awesome. We have a roommate, but our lease is up, so we're going to stay here, and he will move out. So Derek and I will have our own place. Oh, hey, I didn't know you didn't have your own place. That's awesome. I also work about 6 days a week, so it's hard to catch a breath sometimes. I love it, though. Good for you. Derek says we can have two more cats once the roommate leaves, so I'm pumped. We're gonna get them from a shelter. Two more cats? How many cats do you have now? Do you just have one? Because let me tell you what. Look, you're obviously cat people. I'm a cat people. But two cats is the right number of cats. I'm just telling you. I mean, it depends on how big your place is. You got a house? You got an apartment? Look, it's up to you guys. Clearly. You don't have kids, so at this point, if it's just the two of you in the house, maybe three cats is a cool thing, all right? And three cats isn't bad. Four is too many, way too many. Three is acceptable, but two is a good number of cats, I'm telling you. Anyway, let's see. Also, you should get a P.O. box or let me know your address so we can mail you some fan mail at some point. I'll send it to you. I had a question for you. I unfortunately deal with cat callers all the time. Cat callers, all right? And, oh, cat callers, I get it. Okay, it's a sexist thing. And if not that, some much more invisible sexism. Like, smile. Oh, I hate that one. You know what I hate about smile? All right, hold on. Let me finish her. I've got so many thoughts from everything you've said so far. Let me get to the end, and then I'll start organizing my brain. All right, so invisible sexism. Like, smile, or do you really game? Because she works in the gaming store, and I'm sure you put up with that all the time. So I was wondering what advice you would give to your daughter, if you had one, as to how to deal with catcallers and sexism, and what you would say to your sons. All right, first off, I already say stuff to my sons. And as far as the boys go, a lot of it is I simply point out injustice when I see it. And it's tough because it means studying for a government test is, I think I mentioned this, studying for a government test with my son is really tough because, I mean, look, I enjoy government and the workings of government. I enjoy social studies in general. I enjoy lots of topics. I enjoy history. I love going through this stuff with him. And so when you go through it, though, especially when you're talking about the history of our government, but also current events as well, you wind up having to talk a lot about, okay, but let's remember that when we did that, that was really racist. Okay, let's remember that even though we've made this change, our House of Representatives is still 2/3 male. Let's remember that our Senate is still like 90%, 85% male. Let's remember that we're 80% white, when that does not represent our country anymore. We are, and that's just minor stuff. Not even going through, the processes of drawing up our districts and our voting rights and our everything else and how horribly racist and sexist and classist and grossly unfair so much of our system is, and has been, and why it happens that way. Okay, but that's off topic. That's off topic, but it's the kind of thing that we have those conversations all the time. And I've tried to instill in all of my sons a respect for women and a respect for minorities, but women in particular, because they run into women a lot more than they run into minorities around here. I mean, that's just the way it goes. We live in Northeast Nebraska in a semi-rural area, and that's just how it's set up. And so it's a matter of pointing out, even when it's little things, all right? I mean, and it's slow going, because a lot of it is stuff that I had to learn myself over the last few years, that I didn't, when you talk about invisible sexism, the thing Smile, for example, that one makes me cringe because I don't think I've ever said that to somebody else. I mean, you know, I've done, and it's not women in particular. There's lots of people where you come in, you see someone who's not, I mean, like, oh, you need to cheer up. What's going on here? It's a, all right. But specifically smiling, I know in my life, I've many times thought, oh, look, oh, she's so much prettier when she smiles. She should really smile more often. I've never said it to anybody, but I know I've thought it. And it wasn't until later that I realized that, yeah, but why are we so focused on looks? Why are we so focused on, I mean, honestly, the idea of, oh, you're so much prettier when you smile. Why am I focused on you being pretty instead of focusing on how are you? How do you feel? I mean, hey, you look a little down today. You doing all right? That kind of stuff. Why would you focus on looks first? Why is it important to, and it's that kind of thinking that is so insidious that, again, until just a few years ago, I didn't even realize I did it. You know, I mean, you can hit the major ones. I mean, we've been talking about sexual harassment and stuff like that for decades and how wrong it is. But, you know, it's not enough to learn to just not go grabbing a girl's ass. That should be obvious, all right? You don't just go calling women names, catcalling. I can't believe catcalling still goes on. That's just horrifying. But passing those kind of subtle judgments that are just part of the landscape. We just hit one where I had to take Noah aside and point it out because we're coming through and it was at the Weeblos lock-in and it was some professor who was there and he was assisting us with some part of it. This woman works at the college and so she lined up lots of people who had different areas of expertise who could help us out. And they were all really, really wonderful. And this one guy, he sees the group and hears all these boys coming in. And then he's also, okay, now the parents are all over here. And he just comments because there's six dads that showed up and one mom. And he just makes the comment, and the kids are kind of moving along already. So this wasn't directed at them. He was just talking to us. But he's like, oh, wow. Six guys and one girl. Boy, you got to like your odds, huh? I mean, it was just really? I mean, look, we're all parents with our kids here, and that's where you go. And I mean, it was a lighthearted joke, and everybody laughed, and blah, blah, blah. But it's like and I wanted to say, well, yeah, unless all the guys are gay, I mean, then what? Yeah, it was just making assumptions and making it about, it was just weird. It was weird. So I just had to, cause Noah was there for that, and he heard that, and so I just, it wasn't a direct addressing of it, but it was I had to check with him and see if he noticed anything about that or if even, he didn't catch the joke. So, but I was afraid that, something you might have to address. You know what I mean? And it's little stuff because it happens all the time. Am I babbling? I think I'm babbling. What advice would I give to my daughter? It's hard to say. Because I don't have a daughter, and so I don't know. But I would want to raise them with the confidence to know that that's not important. I want to raise them with the confidence to know that they don't have to put up with that kind of crap. And unfortunately for you, it's harder because you work in a service industry where your job is to serve customers and help customers. And I'm sure that there's a line where, you know, look, it's not like you're in charge of the place. You're just an employee. So, how much are you going to call out subtle sexism when, I mean, I understand it's a difficult position that, you know, every time someone says, hey, you really should smile more. Is that the time for you to dish out a 5-minute lecture on why that's really inappropriate? You know, and when you're working there, you're getting paid to help this person out. I get that. That's tough. But it's also got a grade on you because it happens all the damn time. So again, I would hope that if I had daughters, that I would raise them to know that's not how they measure their self-worth and to know that they don't have to put up with that crap if it makes them uncomfortable. I would hope, but I don't know what I would say. I really don't. Again, ask my brother. Kyle has three girls and they are some of the most, talented and capable and self-confident girls I've ever met in my life. They are really strong women. He is raising really good kids all the way around. And his daughters are just exemplary people. They really are. So you should ask Kyle what he does and what he tells them, because, maybe you shouldn't ask Kyle. Maybe you should ask his wife. I'm sure Kyle doesn't have much to do with it. I think his job is just, drink a beer and play in Dungeons and Dragons. Other than that, I don't think he does much with them. So anyway, alright, P.O. Box, we covered that. Cats, we covered that. What else was I gonna say? Man, there was something else up there I was gonna talk about, but, I don't see where it is. So it doesn't make any difference. Alright, I guess I'm done with that one, Nelly. I ran on long enough, and, I thought there was one more thing, but I don't know what it is, because now, after Nelly, Kaz also has another comment. He says, tell us the flavor of the last soda you drank, which is, it's Diet Dr. Pepper in a giant 2-liter bottle, which I have right here and I've been drinking throughout the show. And I absolutely love Diet Dr. Pepper. It's the only soda I really enjoy. Well, that's not true. When I was at the movie theater tonight, I did get myself a Coke because, while I like my Diet Dr. Pepper out of a bottle or out of a can, if it's going to be a fountain drink, I can't stand diet out of a fountain. I just can't. But fountain Coke, oh, Coca-Cola is the bomb out of a fountain. And I've found that now, honestly, after drinking diet soda for so long, you give me a Coca-Cola out of a can, and out of a can, it's just too acidic and too carbonated, too acidic, too something. It's not pleasant out of a can. You give me a Coca-Cola out of a plastic bottle, it's just too sweet. I can't stand the sugar. But man, you give me a fountain Coke at the movie theater at McDonald's. Boy, I love that one. But the last one I drank, right here, Diet Dr. Pepper. And then Kaz says, also, thanks for the show. It makes my night shift go so much better. Dude, thank you for listening, and thank you for participating. I love all you guys that listen, because I know that there's people out there who listen who I've never talked to, and I would love to hear from you guys. But I also especially love you guys who participate. I love the feedback. I love you guys letting me know that I'm doing some good, affirming my delicate ego and letting me know I'm doing a good job. I like that. And as far as it makes the night shifts go so much better, hey, I'm glad. I'm right there with you. I have a whole string of podcasts that I've put together, for listening to on long drives or listening to when I'm having to do mindless repetitive tasks like inventory or, you know, anytime it's something mindless, you know, doing housework, doing laundry, doing inventory at work, you know, just the standard hauling and lifting. Like this last couple of weeks at work, we've been replacing all the monitors, every small monitor in the building, anything, because our latest monitors are all 24 inches, got nice big monitors, and still around the building, we've still got some 17s. We've got some really old ones in there, still 17-inch monitors, 19-inch monitors. And so it's been my task the last couple of weeks to just go through the whole building, and we've got a bunch of extra giant monitors laying around. So let's go ahead and swap them all out. And if it wasn't for podcasts, you know how boring that is? I mean, you know, get a cart full of monitors, walk them up to the offices, sit there, okay, unscrew these cords, screw them back in, punch the buttons, make sure it all works. All right, move on to the next one. I know what you mean. You need a little something to listen to. And podcasts do that. And I'm glad that mine serves that purpose for you. So that's it. We are all done tonight. So I've already told you guys that I love you, but I'll repeat it. I love you guys. Thank you for coming in here. Again, I'll have a lot of gaming for next week. Fingers crossed. I hope so. And I'll talk to you guys then. Have a good time.